Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course. Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
And what's up, everybody? How's everybody doing today? Dave Sturcio here to bring you another episode of Destruction 101 Podcast, episode 47. That's right, 47 of these bad boys that have hit the airwaves. And I can't thank you guys enough for downloading, subscribing, iTunes, SoundCloud, WrestlePROOnline.com, any way which you guys listen. It's definitely a cool deal, and I couldn't thank you guys enough. I hope everybody's having a good week. It's a big week for me, big week for the company of WrestlePro. It is show week. We've been waiting a very, very long time. Well, at least it seems like a very long time for this show, and a lot of things in store. If you want a full rundown of this entire card that's coming up, you can refer back to episode 46 with me and Sean Donovan. We break down every single match that's going to come and deliver probably some of the best stuff that you've seen in quite some time. So I'm excited personally because obviously, you know, WrestlePro is growing by the day. It's been referred to as a machine from some people, and I'm so very, very excited to be a part of it. And I'm just humble and happy and just... I'm happy with everything that's happening right now between my vlog picking up steam. I know it's going to take a little longer for it to, you know, reach the eyes and the ears of everybody. But I'm just dropping, as you're listening to this, it should be episode 14 already of that. So I've been pretty consistent with that. I took the weekend off just to kind of give everybody a refresher. But now you're listening to this Destruction 101 podcast, just another forum that I have to market myself, but also market my friends, market things that are happening around me. Today, as I record this, Tuesday, January 30th, you'll be listening to it on Wednesday, January 31st. But today I received Gary Vaynerchuk's book, Crushing It. Very excited to get reading on that. Got to find the time to read that because with show week here, I'm trying to hit the gym every day. It sounds silly, and I said this in my vlog of a show prep day for Creator Pro, but like, I always like to look and feel my best, and I know I'm not in the singlet anymore, and I'm not in the tights, I'm not lacing up the boots, but I am putting on a suit, and I'm going to be in front of probably more people on Saturday than I have been in quite some time in a professional wrestling forum. We're expecting a huge, huge crowd, front, second, third row, sold out. And Kevin Matthews is predicting over 1,000. I totally see it. I mean, there's going to be a lot of exposure for a lot of my friends. I'm very excited for anybody that's involved with the company right now. They each have a match highlighting their skills against the skills of Impact Wrestling. And it's going to be live on Twitch. I have to educate myself a little bit more on Twitch. Not sure what that's all about. I know it has something to do with video games, but I also know that House of Hardcore has been very successful on it. So it's something that Impact has started their own channel. And look, this is just another outlet for these hardworking individuals to get out there, get their stuff out there, and really showcase what they got. Very excited. You know, right before this podcast started recording, I was talking to guys like Chris Steeler, who's very excited. He's got himself a six-man tag team match coming up, and it's going to be great. And I'm, like I said, very, very happy for everybody that's involved in this, top to bottom, you know, from the guys that are on the pre-show to the guys that are working security at the door to the guys that are in the semi-main event, whatever the case may be, whatever your role is. To my guy that's sitting right next to me, Shining Edward Jackson, I'm very excited to really deliver the goods. you know, and again, further my brand, further the brand of WrestlePro, and really just, you know, crush it, you know, for lack of a better term or phrase. But, you know, it's something I'm very excited about. I mean, look, I was just reading the back of the book, you know, about this book, and like Dwayne The Rock Johnson said something about this book. He says, Gary is a masterful entrepreneur with a gift of communication that cuts through all the bullshit that can often hinder one's success. We share the same simplistic business philosophy, which is why we've become good friends. Be willing to put in the hard work and always be grateful. Crushing it is a must-have for all individuals who want to be the best at what they do. And that's exactly what I want to do. I want to be the best that you've heard on the air. I want to be the best that you've heard in the ring. I want to be the best you've seen and heard on TV. There are so many goals right now, and I'm not shooting all over the place. I understand that some people, some of my even my closest friends have told me that, you know, sometimes you stack your plate too high and it can stress the fuck out of you. And it totally can. Trust me. There's no rest, okay? Like, people think Dave works a 7:30 to 2:30 job and he's done. You know, like, the day's over. But, like, little does everybody know that if you follow my vlog, The Daily Dose of Dave, if you see that everyday grind, that's every day. Like, I'm working. You know, quote, air quotes, working from the moment I wake up at, you know, when I roll out of bed and my wife is like punching me in the face to get out of bed at 6:15 in the morning to literally bedtime. You know, I'm literally posting one more thing. And this is how like neurotic I am with this stuff. And it's just another way to market myself and to get excited. I'm excited as shit when my phone goes off, okay? Whether it be a notification or a like on Facebook or a follow on Twitter or whatever the case may be, I get excited. So right before I go to bed, because this is what I do. I go to bed, I turn my phone upside down so it's not fucking illuminating all night and making any noise. It's on silent and it's upside down. So if you've ever tried to reach me past the time of 11 o'clock on a weekday, I'm sorry, okay? I usually try to get to bed 10:30, 11 o'clock. Sometimes I'll push it to 11:30, and that's only because Raw will go over time or whatever. But I'll post something at the end of the night just so I can wake up and see how many people give a shit about the last thing I say for the day. It sounds ridiculous, but it's something that I crave every morning when I wake up and I see a plethora of likes and comments and feedback and all sorts of shit. I love that shit. And that's why I know the road I'm taking now to build a personal brand and to be on in front of your face as long and as much as possible, I know it's going to pay off. Patience is one of those things that you're not born with. You have to learn them. It's just one of those things. You cannot, even the saints of the saints, okay, will have their patience tested from time to time. And I'm telling you right now, I'm one of those people that used to just be on edge all the time. I want to like kill everybody every 3 seconds. Like it was bad for a little while. But as time goes on, as you learn new things, as you follow new people and you surround yourself with successful people, your patience grows. And I think it comes from home. It comes from the people that you're surrounding yourself with. If they're patient with you. I have plenty of friends in my life right now who have, Jesus Christ, I mean, if they didn't have patience, I mean, I'm talking like, you know, professional business relationships. I'm talking about personal friends of mine who have been there since day one. I'm talking about people I may have met last school year. Okay. Like, people have been patient with me and tolerated me for a long time. And I cannot thank them enough because they're the fuel behind all this. If I didn't think I had a shot at this, I wouldn't do it. There's no reason to talk on a microphone every week just to spit game and pretend like, hey, I have a podcast. I hope all the girls want me. Okay, that's not the goal here. And it never was the goal. And I'm not a creep like that. I don't give a shit how many people listen to this. I'm going to talk. This is my venting session. And if you're listening to the sound of my voice, hopefully it helps you in a certain way. I hope you, when you see my face on YouTube, it helps you in a certain way. There's different things that I do on a daily basis to go out of my way to make sure that I'm making all my friends, my followers, my fans, everybody that I have in my life right now, I will go out of my way to make sure that you feel good about yourself. Okay? Even if it's something so minuscule. You know, there's plenty of people on Instagram right now that I literally drop a line, whether you be a super famous person or a super regular person, when you crush another goal from the gym or you get an accomplishment or this, that, and the other, I'm proud of you, and I'll tell you. You know, I will drop a comment. I'll drop some love. There's no reason why you shouldn't. You know, if it's constant, people start to recognize that, you know, real surrounds themselves with real, and you're not fake, and you're not phony. I'm a very passionate person with every single project I've ever done, especially since I stopped wrestling, you know, and, you know, like I said, it's weird enough to say, but sometimes when you step away from that kind of line of work, other things can open up, and they have, and I have Pat Buck to thank, and I have, you know, everybody that's involved with WrestlePro, Kevin Matthews, like those guys, I have them to thank. You know, there's never any ill will. There's never any like, oh, I wish I had more. Like, this is exactly where I want to be and exactly where I need to be. And I've made the right connections and I've made the right friends in the last 2 years to know that I'm on the cusp of very, very big things. You know, I mentioned on my podcast, you know what? I don't know if I mentioned it on last week's podcast, but you know, with the XFL launching, you know, that's a goal. Why the fuck wouldn't it be a goal? You know, you got a brand new startup company, you know, run by the entertainment juggernaut, Vince McMahon, and his media company. And it's football. Like, are you kidding me? It is football, folks. And I can't stress this enough. There's not a better mix of things in this world that says Dave Sturcio more than wrestling related entertainment and football. You smash that all together and you have me. That's the core of what my being is. So if you think I wouldn't be good at this, you're fooling yourself, because I know I'd be good at this. I could talk. I'm a very knowledgeable person when it comes to the sport of football. I've coached it. I've played it. I've done a lot of stuff in the sport, and I'm a passionate Dallas Cowboy fan. And I'll get into my Super Bowl pick later, which it is what it is. Like, I didn't say, like, I didn't really preview this episode with anybody, and I didn't want to. I didn't want questions. I didn't want anything like that. I just wanted to talk today. So, and it's not a knock on everybody that's asked me questions over the last couple weeks. It's not like that at all. It's just that, you know, today was just the talking day. But, you know, so here's, and another thing that popped up today as I'm recording this, Tuesday, you know, the backbone of Impact Wrestling, you know, ring announcer / commentator Jeremy Borash, who's been with the company since 2002, leaves, and he's going to WWE. Folks, if that's not another, like, all it takes is a text from somebody, and it fires me up. You know, some of my closest friends are texting me right away, as soon as they hear the news that there's a spot open and there's something that is an opportunity. I'm not saying that I'm going to sit next to Josh Matthews tomorrow and start just recording shit and just cutting the shit and pretending I'm the next big thing in fucking Impact Wrestling. I'm not saying that. I'm saying here's an opportunity and I'm going to take advantage of that. So, and if you're not taking advantage of every single opportunity that presents itself, you're just fucking up, and you're just not living your life, you know, like to its fullest extent. If you're waking up every morning, and I've said this countless amount of times, but if you're waking up every morning and you're dreading life in general, you're dreading your job, you're dreading your relationship, you're dreading the guy or the girl that you're talking to because they don't want to text you back overnight or whatever the fucking case may be, if you're dreading that shit, then you need to fix it. Your shit is broken, Matt Hardy, right now, okay? You need to fix that shit immediately and start chasing some shit. Start getting excited about life. We go around once. We only get one of these things. You get one at bat. You really do. As much as people say, well, you get 3 strikes and you can foul tip and hit a curveball and blah, blah, blah. No, man. No. This is life. It's the game of life. You get one at bat. Make it fucking count. There's no reason for you to be sitting at home twiddling your thumbs, wondering what the next step is going to be. Just do. I've been a very big advocate on do mentality lately. Take the risk. Shoot the message. Fucking Instagram message somebody. Fucking slide into somebody's fucking DMs on Twitter. Okay? Do those things and things will develop. It's a foregone conclusion. If you're good at something and you want to be great at something, the only way you're going to progress is if you reach out to the necessary people. Okay? I mean, this is just, it's Destruction 101. Okay? That's what it is. I'm teaching you exactly what to do if you're a little lost. Some of you guys got the world by the balls, and more power to you. I'm very proud of you. You know, if you're owning a company already, or you're making shit ton of money or whatever. To me, truth be told, I got an email today. And this is only because a lot of my bills come at once. I got an email today saying, "Hey, hey, Dave Sturcio, your balance is -$1," and that's never happened to me in the history of my life. So when I say that I'm in debt and I'm broke, I am fucking broke. Okay, I am not Mr. fucking, you know, high and mighty and wearing, you know, $3,000 suits and shit like that and riding around in limousines and fucking look. I got a nice truck. I got a beautiful house. I have a fucking fantastic life right now. But it's not always going to translate into dollar bills. Not all the time and not right away. You know, like tomorrow I get paid, so I'll be fine. You know what I mean? So if everybody's like, oh my gosh, should I PayPal now? Or sure. If you want to PayPal me money, fucking awesome. Rock on. Okay. But in all seriousness, like it's not all about the almighty buck. It's just about your quality of life. I understand that you go through things. Whether there's a death in the family, or you lose your job, or you lose your relationship, or whatever the case may be, and you feel like you're going down and you fucking hit rock bottom. The way I feel about rock bottom is the best thing that could possibly happen to you. I know it sounds silly. It's very silly. And I had a big epiphany when it comes to hitting rock bottom, because I've been there. You know, and it was 2011. It was 2014. There was different times where I hit rock bottom. And I truly, truly believe that if you hit rock bottom, it's a blessing in disguise. Because that means the building that you built, right? You built your whole life and something bad happens and it crumbles. The entire building crumbles, okay? And now it's rubble. And it's just, you feel like you're the worst possible human being on the face of the earth, and you feel like there's nobody there that's going to help you, and you feel like there's nothing that you can do. Well, I'm telling you right now what you can do. You can rebuild that building, but with a stronger foundation based on the experiences you just went through. Okay. These are big moments of your life. These are catastrophic moments of your life. I've lost my best friend. I've lost my grandmother, who is my favorite person on the history of the planet. I've lost best friends. I've lost, like I just said, I lost best friends. I've lost jobs. I've lost careers. I've lost girlfriends. Shit, man. I've lost like fucking 37,000 girlfriends. But things, it happens. You know what I mean? Like those moments happen. And if you feel like you're on the worst of the worst run right now, you know, like it's just you have a chance. You have a chance to rebound, and you have a chance to rebuild. Sounds cliche, sounds corny, I get it. But you know what? There's people that are listening to this right now saying, fuck yeah, Dave, you're onto something. And I know I'm onto something. And I'm onto more, bigger, and better somethings. Follow my vlog every day. I give you some kind of wisdom, some kind of knowledge, some kind of experience that I fucking dealt with and I went through to get through where I'm at right now. Where right now, you can hear the smile on my face. Okay? And like I said, I have -$1 right now to my name. It's not about money, folks. It's about the quality of life that you live. It's about waking up every day with goals on your mind and like I said, short-term goals. Things you can handle right now. Okay? And there's going to be curveballs. There's going to be so much shit thrown at you that it's just going to fucking, it's going to fuck your day up and you're going to be like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to act. I don't know who to talk to. Fucking shoot me a message, man. I am not hard to talk to. I'm not hard to reach. I fucking drop my social medias on every single episode of this podcast and on my vlog. And I'm easy to reach. I'm free of charge, okay? You can talk to me like a human being if you're going through some shit. I'm there for you. If I'm busy and I'm at the gym or I'm at work and I can't fucking, you know, answer you right away, don't get offended. Just, I'll be right with you, you know? So, with that being said, we're going to take a quick break from a word from our sponsor, Jeremy Thompson's newest play. I'm very excited about it for him. And when we come back, we'll talk a little Raw 25. We'll talk a little, actually, we won't talk Raw 25. That shit's a week ago now. We'll talk Royal Rumble. We'll talk all that stuff. We'll expose another individual for his just ridiculousness on social medias. We'll give you one last little preview of this coming week and the things to come. And yeah, so hang tight. Enjoy the commercial that I produced for Mr. Jeremy Thompson with his play, Best of Enemies, and I'll be right back. In the mid-20th century, civil rights activist Ann Atwater
and Exalted Cyclops of the Durham chapter of the Ku Klux Klan, Claiborne Paul, C.P. Ellis, crossed paths and lock horns on the school integration issues during an emotionally charged civil rights movement in Durham, North Carolina, at a time when racial tension and prejudice were at dangerous levels. In 1971, thanks to the persuasion of community organizer Bill Riddick, the two reluctantly find themselves co-chairs of the committee to tackle the problems on their town's education system. Along with Riddick's idealism and the level-headedness of his wife, Mary, both Ann and CP begin to see that they have more common ground with their supposed enemy than they realize, as they confront the prejudice within themselves as well as each other. A play based on true events, written by Mark St. Germain, inspired by Osha Gray Davidson's book of the same name, Best of Enemies, directed by Bill Mutimer, stars a small cast with Katina Gordon Green as Ann Atwater, Jeremy Thompson as C.P. Ellis, Jamal Clayton as Bill Riddick, and Bessie Amato as Mary Ellis. The show opens on February 15th through the 17th at 7:30 p.m. in the Lipkin Theater at Northampton Community College on 3835 Green Pond Road, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Admission is a canned good donation or a monetary donation to the Norman Roberts Scholarship Fund. Tickets are available at the door, but for those looking to reserve them in advance, please call 610-861-5524 or email ncc_theater_tickets@northampton.edu. Warning, there will be language used in this play that may come off racially offensive.
Thank you, Jeremy Thompson, for that awesome play that you're about to put on, and I'm very excited for you. And like I said, you guys can all check that out. Go check out the tickets. Check out all his, just follow him. Follow him on all social medias. He's a cool dude, very unique individual, and unique in the best way possible. So shout out to Jeremy Thompson. Good luck with that. And you'll be hearing that commercial all the way up until showtime. So going forward, the Royal Rumble has come and gone for WWE. And it was good. You know what? It's funny because I'm trying to figure out like the best way to put it. I liked it. And it's unfortunate that a lot of people didn't, and a lot of people shit on it, and it's been an ongoing thing with wrestling fans lately, and it's funny, because just, on the elliptical today, I'm sorry, treadmill, I don't even know what the fuck kind of cardio I'm doing lately, I was watching the, which brought back a lot of cool memories, which I was watching the Orlando, WW24, and I saw all this emotion, this raw emotion, you know, from wrestling fans when Taker retired, and there was people literally crying in the crowd. And I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, man, wrestling fans are fucking awesome. You know, they're so passionate, and they're so in the moment, and they're so, they just witness all this history and shit, and everybody's excited. And then I see, you know, the people online, and it just drives me nuts. Like, how can you be so passionate about something? Which I, look, here's the thing. People pay money to see these shows. I totally get that. And it's not a knock on them, and it's not, you know, on a personal basis, but it's more like, can you people just start to enjoy shit for what it is? Like, it's professional wrestling. It's something that doesn't have to exist in this world, but it does. And, you know, you're going to see some things that you don't like. You're going to see something. Why can't I talk? You're going to see some things that you do love and appreciate and can get behind. And it's just exciting as shit. But like to literally to the point where you're just downgrading the people that are involved in the decision-making process. And like, I don't know, like, I liked the Men's Rumble. It had its right amount of surprises and cool twists and turns. And the right guy won. Shinsuke Nakamura is one of those guys that is like, can you imagine that championship entrance that he's going to pull off at WrestleMania in New Orleans? Like, it's going to be so surreal and so cool to witness and watch. Like, you're going to regret even if you shat on that for 1 second. The Women's Royal Rumble, so cool. You know, like, it was so cool. So many surprises. And people are just shitting on it left and right. And, you know, I'll be the first one to admit, like, I wasn't always the biggest women's wrestling fan, only because I know the athleticism wasn't the same. And of course, it's not going to be the same, but it's its own entity and its own style of wrestling. And recently, within the last like year or so, I've fallen in love with a lot of these girls, man. Well, not like that, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like their skill set and their just their unique style. And from the Jordan Graces, Santana Garrett, like these people that I see on the indies all the time, the people that are at WrestlePro, Corinne Mink, Casey Cattell, these people are just like fucking good and they're getting better. And Kristen Statlander, like they just, the list just keeps going. Women's wrestling is progressing. And I've said this in past episodes that it shouldn't be like this extraordinary thing. Like I get it. They're enjoying this run right now where it's being considered like a revolution. And I'm totally on board with that. And I'm totally like cool with all this stuff that's happening. But I'm like, I'm always thinking to myself, like, does it have to be a revolution? Can it just be a thing? Can it just be the norm next to the guys? You know, there was this guy who I was brought to the attention by a colleague of mine who was very, very, very passionate when it comes to women's, not just so much their rights, because everybody's got the same amount of fucking rights, but, you know, just girl power, you know what I mean? Like, just a very proud woman, and she's proud of her accomplishments, and that's my topic of conversation on my my vlog today as I recorded it, was being proud of your accomplishments, and I couldn't be more proud of certain people, especially this girl. I'm not going to name names because it's unnecessary, but she brought to the attention of a referee in independent wrestling that was legitimately going out of his way to basically put on a play-by-play act of what was happening at the Royal Rumble. People do that all the time. Fans do that all the time. If you're in the professional wrestling business, okay, and this goes for anybody who thought like you're not allowed to watch wrestling if you're in the wrestling business, because that's bullshit too, because I watch every fucking week. I watch every week, either if it's live if I have time, or if it's not live, sue me, you know, but I always catch up. I always watch the specials when they come on. Like, I'm watching it. I'm a fan. This is what I was when I first was born. So the unwritten rule of workers not being allowed to watch the product or go to live events or anything like that, that's fucking baloney. And it's silly, because I've gone to events since I started wrestling. I've gone to events. I've cheered. I fucking booed. I had a good fucking time. And it's called living your fucking life, okay? You don't have to be, you just because you're a wrestler and you're on the big stage sometimes, you can be a fan. You can get in touch with the inner child and inner fan that you have. But that's besides the point. If you're in the professional wrestling business and the goal, I'm not saying like right now there's people that are on the indies right now that can definitely be in the WWE, in my opinion. I'm not necessarily right. I'm nobody to judge. I'm nobody that can scout talent. I'm not a fucking scout. I'm not an agent. But there are people in the business right now that I think can be on WWE television. I truly think that. Some people at WrestlePro right away, Bowens, McIntosh, Payne, The Bodies, those guys, Mario Bacara, Falaba, Dan Moff, these guys can all bring it to the WWE. And then on the rest of the independents, Kyle the Beast, KTB, Joey Janela, just random people, Matt Riddle, I mean, Brian Cage, who's just got a brand new contract with Impact Wrestling. These guys can bring it, and I think they can bring it very well. But you will never see these people with aspirations and goals to make it to the WWE, the big time in professional wrestling. You'll never see them critique the product. And when you do see people critique the product who are in the wrestling business who have no place to do so, it looks very, very foolish. And if you had goals and aspirations to make it to the big time, you're not doing yourself any fucking favors, ever. It's just, you're not doing it. I'm going to read this conversation that I had with this guy. His name is Philip, Slivinsky, and he works for ECWA, which can't tell you enough good things about the company, which, again, I haven't really heard of it. But I know what ECWA is, but whatever the case may be. I reached out to him on Monday morning because I was very upset with all the stuff he was writing. I mean, he was writing some harsh shit saying how dare the WWE book Brock Lesnar before the women's match, and why is the women's match after the men's match, and why are they getting the showcase and the highlights and shit. And I'm like, who the fuck? Like, who are you? And I remember, if you remember back to episode like 4 or 5, or I don't remember exactly the episode, but I exposed this guy for getting on Sonny Kiss for being a gay professional wrestler who portrays himself as himself. There's no gimmick, okay? Sonny is Sonny, and Sonny is excellent. And this, you know, there was a bigot down in Maryland, and I exposed him. If you know this guy, Philip Slavinsky, he's a referee. He's got that stupid default profile picture where he's pointing at the fucking, and he's in his Foot Locker t-shirt. And I reached out and I said, quote, "What are your goals in pro wrestling? I'm asking from the general public." And he says, "Already achieved it. That's being involved in the business." So basically he's saying, being in ECWA, that was his goal. He's in the business now, and he's the fucking, the cat's pajamas. He is the man. He is the fucking guru of gurus. He knows everything he knows, and blah, blah, blah. My response: shitting on every single thing that WWE does is a way to have you lose all credibility whatsoever. If you have any, that is. And I'll, you know, listen, I'm mad, so I'm allowed to be a little snarky. I said, and then legit downgrading women on a public forum makes you look very foolish. It's a very, very sad thing that there are people like you still out there. His response, quote, "Fuck WWE and their bullshit women division. I enjoy professional wrestling, not sports entertainment. Their fan base is the absolute worst, second only behind ECW fucking loser fans." That's coming from a professional referee in the professional wrestling business on the independents. Are you kidding me? Like, first of all, calling ECW fans, you know, the worst fan is just ridiculous, because thank God for ECW fans, because they revolutionize what fans should be when it comes to being passionate, crazy, and just outlandish. That's their good. But when he says, you know, the bullshit women's division, I'm like, dude, you have some of the most talented women on the planet in front of the millions of people that watch this shit, and it's a bullshit division? Like, what? I don't know what goes through the mind. And I went to reply, and I was blocked. So, that's the beauty of the block button. If you don't want to hear from me, you can block me, and that's totally cool. And I appreciate that blocking, because it could have got a lot worse and could have got a lot nastier. But do I take it to the extent of reaching out to the ECWA promoter? Nah, I don't give a shit. I truly don't. This guy already knows he's a piece of shit, and anybody who's listening to this knows he's a piece of shit. So, therefore, it is what it is. But, like I said, it's just, I don't know, man. We live in a time now where everybody is equal, and, well, should be. And, you know, unfortunately, we have different areas and different aspects of life where people aren't treated as such. And that's a very sad deal. But it is what it is. But it's pro wrestling, man. It's fucking pro wrestling. And I can't disagree with this guy more on his stance about everything. But I also just can't. It makes me cringe when people decide to go out there and just shit all over everything. It's so ridiculous. And especially if your goal was the WWE. Clearly, this guy's goal is not WWE. But, like, should you be saying stuff like this on a public forum if you have people in your mind? Like, my man, I mean, chances are he's a virgin, and I'm not making fun of him. I'm just saying, chances are he has not been with a woman. So, and if he was, there's a reason why she left. So, I mean, like, there's just, it's astronomically ridiculous. I can't, whew, you know, it's like one of those topics where you're just like, you gotta be fucking kidding. But, shifting gears now, I feel bad. I have not watched any media week yet for the Super Bowl. I'm sure I'll sit down. I think tomorrow will be my Wednesday. It's like midway through the week where when you're listening to this, it's going to be get out of work, record the Daily Dose of Dave when I get home, and just fucking kick back and just decompress a little bit, because I know how busy Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are going to be. So I haven't watched any media week. I did see a couple headlines here and there with Brady and stuff like that. Like, yes, like, based on the way the conference championship games went, people would say that the Eagles are for real with Nick Foles. I would go as far as saying that, yes, they impressed me and they beat the piss out of a really good defense, which kind of, listen, it shocked the world. Okay, we all knew that Jacksonville had a prayer, but at the end of the day, like, let's fucking be honest here. You know, Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady and do GOAT things, okay? He's the greatest of all time for a reason. But so going forward now, we have the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, And obviously, I won't talk to you guys on this forum before that. I'll make my picks on Friday on Daily Dose of Dave. If you heard it here, you're going to hear the same thing on Friday, but still watch anyway. When it comes down to the Super Bowl this year, obviously, there's a very big underdog right now. And that's obviously the Eagles, okay? And last time we saw something like this was quite recently, was the Panthers and the Broncos, where I understand that Peyton Manning was on his way out, but the Panthers were going in as a very deep underdog. I felt that way. But then again, like I said, there's different ways where it's hard to say, and it's hard to bring a prediction based on what you've seen in the playoffs. I see the Patriots being a better team. I think the Eagles have the better defense. I think the Patriots obviously have that high-powered Tom Brady against the world mentality offense. I do see this a little bit more of a bigger score. And a lot of people saying like, well, Brady might be shut down and then Foles won't move the ball. And like the Patriots defense is good. They're not great. And Brady will score his points. So with that being said, my Super Bowl prediction, which I've been relatively, I think I was 2-6 going into the conference round, and I picked both winners. So now I'm 4-6 for the 10 games that you've seen already. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, 10 games you've seen already. I'm 4-6, so I will double down and try to get back to 5-6 for the picks. But I am taking the Patriots to win the Super Bowl this year and really put the hurt and the sting back into the city of Philly and go back to the pit of misery, dilly-dilly, where they belong. But I do see this being a little closer than people think. I see this being a 27-21 Patriots win by 6. So I know the spread's moving around a little bit. If you're a gambling man, that's fine. But the only gambling I'm going to be doing is getting box pools and shit. And I'm in a couple of them. The one at school, at work, the numbers I got, I feel like they just didn't want me to win. So, but yeah, 27-21 Patriots. I don't see any last-minute heroics. I just see that, you know, the Patriots getting out ahead. The Eagles scoring, keeping it relevant. I see a missed extra point for whatever reason or a couple field goals here and there. 27-21, go Patriots. Because I swear to God, I've had a bad football season this year with the Cowboys just basically collapsing and all the shit that they had to deal with the Zeke stuff and whatever the case may be. Went 9-7 and just not a good year for them. All the shit I dealt with. It was a joy to watch the New York Giants get crippled like they did and be one of the worst teams in the NFL. But now that, you know, they got the new coach and they got the high draft pick. So Giants Nation is probably all fired up about the offseason. So am I. Chances are me and my boy Dom might actually go out to the draft because it is in Jerry's World this year in April. That's a possibility. We're looking into that currently. But we, as an NFC East, the Giants fans, the Cowboy fans, the Redskins fans, if they exist, we're all rooting very heavily. If you're proper and you're the real fan that you say you are, you do not want the Eagles to join the Super Bowl conversation ever. Okay, there's a reason why we get to get excited when we're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, because no matter what they do in the regular season, they've never won a Super Bowl, and we need to keep it this way. If in the event they win the Super Bowl and people like Frank Myers and shit like that get on my case and the Blue Meanie and just all these people and just all Philly Nation, Danny Cage over at the Monster Factory, if these people get excited and they get their first Super Bowl, what am I going to do? You know, I could say life sucks, but it doesn't. I could just say, hey, we got 5, they got 1. I hope you guys had a good episode. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. You can follow me on all my social medias at Dave Sturcio on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat is Dave Destruction 2, Facebook.com/Dave Sturcio, and also the Destruction 101 Facebook page. Thank you guys so much for listening, subscribing, share this. Tell your friends about all this stuff and all the goals that I have. And I truly hope that the rest of this week goes good for all you people except the Eagles fans. Bye, everybody. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Hey. Yeah.
chase me. You got an ass so fat, let's make a baby.
And another one.
Damn, I'm smoking weed in my Mercedes.
Or car.
Hold up, these niggas broke, these niggas lazy. Man, they money slim, they acting shady. I'm in my brand new car, who wanna race? Ho, bitch, you ain't got my phone, so why you showing up?
Never.
I'm taking them shots on my niggas, they loaded up. Man, on the low, all these hoes be acting so material. Hold up, man, did you see her interior?